Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to another episode of Dubwise Talk. I am Judah Arai, your host, and I am most pleased this evening specifically that we have as our special guest, Miss T. Lane. She is a very prolific author, and I cannot wait until I can introduce you to her and present you to the others in the audience. But before we bring on this magnificent artist, we're going to listen to this ad from Unan Imports.
Greetings, Aquaba. Unan Imports. Unan Imports.
Unine Imports. They are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden level shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian tapestry carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Unine Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor. Take some time and go over to Unine Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Unine. You'll be glad you did. Yes, and we are black. We are black with the phenomenal artist, author. Her name is Miss T. Lane. And at this time, with no further ado, let's receive her with a big smile and a big yay. Greetings, beloved. How are you, sister?
Thank you. I'm wonderful. What a great introduction. I'm already flattered.
You deserve it, sister. I was looking at your works, and I'm just so elated to have an artist of your magnitude on our show. Again, welcome.
Thank you.
So let's talk about you for a second. Where were you born, Miss T?
You know, I was actually born in Inglewood, California, at a real famous hospital, Centinella. And I was actually raised in Compton, California. So my city has become very famous, well, years prior, and even more famous within the last 2 or 3 months with the movie Straight Outta Compton. But it's a beautiful city. There's a lot of talent there that is actually a little unnoticed. I have quite a few friends in the industry, and, you know, it's just amazing when I go home to see everybody. So Compton, California is really where I was born and raised, but Inglewood, Centinella Hospital.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. It sounds like you had a very enriching childhood, being surrounded by so much talent.
Yes. I'm sorry, my phone does that every now and then. I hope it doesn't mess up the interview.
No, you're fine. We're fine. We all know that this is Blog Talk, so we're going to force right along, you know. Tell us about how art played a part in your home, in your life while growing up.
You know, specifically, there wasn't a lot of art involved, but my mother, she always had this inner voice that always wanted to just scream to the world. She always said, her favorite thing to say was, "I feel like I was put on this earth to do more than just live. I want to do something for my people." She had a beautiful voice. My mother could sing like an angel. Even throughout the year, she smoked, and she was still able to hit Mary well. She was always able to hit those high notes from these exquisite singers, and she just amazed me. You know, my mother passed a few years ago, but her voice still resonates inside of me. So I have to give all my inspiration really to her. There wasn't really a lot of art, but listening to her sing, it gave my soul a real blessing. I'm sorry. I hope that doesn't continue, but yeah,
no
my
worries.
Mother. I would have to say my mother.
Wow, that is a wonderful story. It is so organic that you got it straight from the soul, without any production, without any fanfare whatsoever. You got it straight from the soul. My mother is still with us, and I recall from our teenage years, And even earlier than that, when she got into the church, she always was singing some church songs in the morning or praying with her voice. And it resonates even today how she would just sing while she was cooking and cleaning and things, you know. So I identify with that as well, beloved. It makes me smile.
Absolutely. It does. It does. And it's something about music and something about when it's really heartfelt. It comes across. And even I listen to different singers, and you can kind of tell the ones that are singing from their soul and some that are just singing from what's written in front of them. It's a completely different type of message that they deliver. You feel it, you know, and like they say, different artists, I believe they say Aretha Franklin and Mary J. Blige, they give them the title Queen of Soul. And that's because when you listen to their music, it speaks to your soul. It, like you said, it brings out something inside of you.
Yes, yes, indeed, indeed. So you now, you have been blessed and endowed with your mother's singing. Was there any other contributions of art, like, for instance, were there any stories being told at the gatherings? If so, which stories were they?
Oh, my goodness. My mother's grandmother is part Native American. And when you ask that question, it just brings to mind the type of stories that she would tell. So my great-grandmother, she would do things like, and she's from Mississippi, so who knows how these stories originated.
Sister, hold on. Let me ask you, is the tribe that you are familiar, related to, is that the Sugarloaf tribe?
No, it's not. It's actually Flatfoot.
Okay. My mother is from Sugarloaf, Mississippi, and she's part Sugarloaf Indian.
You know, who knows? Who knows? My great-grandmother, you know, this is from what she told me, but who knows who her father and, mother was?
Yes.
You know, so this is coming directly from her father's side. Who knows about the mother's side? You know, it's very possible.
Yes, indeed. How interesting it was in those days.
Oh, man, it was. And they have the greatest stories. I mean, two come to mind, but the first one that I thought about when you asked me that question, I remember being a little girl, and my great-grandmother, she would love to cook. She was always in the kitchen, and I think this day she was probably cooking chitlins. I hated the smell. It was horrible, and I think this may have been New Year's Day or New Year's Eve or something like that.
Yes.
And we got ready to sit down and eat dinner, and I didn't want to eat it. I'm like, I don't like the way it smells. It's horrible. I don't want to eat it. So she tells me a story of the eat-em-up man. So there's a story of the eat-em-up man. And how descriptive. I have a picture of this man in my head that's like dressed in all black with this hat on and a long beard and long black hair that's just super dark and very scary. Okay, that's the description that I remember. I don't believe that's the way she said it, but when she delivered the story, that's how I imagined it.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
She would tell me that there was this eat-em-up man that would come in the house every night to children that didn't eat their food. So first what he would do is eat up all the food, and then if the children did not eat their food, he ate them next. So with that being said, I had to force her chitlins down my throat, and I cleaned the entire plate. I haven't eaten chitlins since then.
Oh, God.
I used to tell my mother, no, I don't want to go to Granny's house. I don't want to go. The eat-em-up man is going to get me because I don't want to eat her food.
How old were you at that time?
Oh, my gosh. I have to say, I want to say maybe 7 or 8. I want to say 5, but my memory doesn't really go back that far, so I'm thinking 7 or 8.
You might be surprised how far it actually goes. So do you share that story with your offspring?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't make it as fearful. Usually I'm telling them, this is what Granny used to tell me. So I deliver it to them that way. And then they ask me, well, Mommy, well, was it true? I don't know, because I always ate my food.
I see. So how about in school? Now, when you were in school, were stories readily available for you to dispense to the class, or did you have to muster up a story and do research? How were you in storytelling in school?
That was my favorite subject. I actually didn't realize that I was as good as I was until I was probably in about the 11th grade. And I was always a writer. I was always a storyteller, you know, and I always had massive debates. You know, I was usually more like a person that would look at the story completely different than the rest of the class. My questions didn't always remain the same as everyone else. So the questions,
yes,
what I would ask a lot of times would stomp the teacher. And, you know, they're looking at me like, well, Tanisha, we're not studying that right now. We're studying this. I'm like, but it still relates. So when I was in the 11th grade, I had this one teacher. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that everything is connected. Go on, beloved.
Absolutely. When I was in 11th grade, I don't remember the title of the story, but there was something that I turned in to my teacher, and he read it, and he asked me, he said, you know, your stories are very descriptive, they're very enlightening, and I almost feel like I was there. He said, you know, you did a great job on this report, and I think you should work or actually try to get into the school newspaper. By that time, it was actually already closed for everything. You know, senior year was coming up the following year, and all the assignments were actually already done. So I never really got the ability to expand when it came to school. So nothing was ever really delivered to me. Anything they gave a topic on, I wrote about it with passion. You know, even if they would give maybe a news article. Okay, well, what are the current events from this week? Mine were always very descriptive and out-of-the-box type of thinking. The questions that I would deliver, you know, and then the perspective that I was given was always completely different from what the rest of the class did. And I took a joy in it. I loved it.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. You have to be careful with that kind of gift to not to be have the appearance of being a gloat and condescending.
Right.
You have to be wise with it so
you
can keep it.
Yes, it's funny you say that because it got me in trouble a lot. Most of my writing classes, which is where I excel the most, I was in trouble the most. I remember I had a teacher. My mother had to come to the school. She was so frustrated with me because she actually had to leave work. So, you know, in our community, your mother cannot leave work to deal with discipline issues. It's a huge problem. So
right.
I had this one teacher, and I don't think I was deliberately being disobedient, but she was teaching us Greek mythology. I was very frustrated. I didn't know why I was learning it, and to me it really was a waste of time, you know. And I said, if it's
yes.
a myth, why are you teaching this to me if it's untrue? And she never really had an answer for me. She never had an answer for me. So I come to school one day, it's early in the morning, we weren't supposed to be chewing gum, and I always sat in front of the class. So I'm sitting there, I didn't pop my gum, I wasn't being disrespectful, but she saw that I was chewing it. She made me sit in the back of the class with gum on my nose. So I guess at some point she reached my mother. My mother comes up there, and she just completely reads my teacher the riot act. She said, my daughter is not, you're not going to put her in the back of the class with a dunce hat on her head. She said, because basically that's what you did. She said, you're not going to berate my child in front of her peers. She said, if you have
right.
a problem with her, I don't mind coming down here and speaking with her and getting her on track. She said, but this type of thing you're not going to do. So I don't know what that teacher, I ended up dropping her class, but I think that was the most part of it. You know, everything that she said, I challenged it, and it would frustrate her. I mean, and you can just see it in her face. She would turn red, and Tanisha, why do you say those things? Why, like, why do you do that? And I'm like, why not? Why do you expect me to just go with what you say when you're telling me it's a complete myth, it's a fabrication? My brain doesn't understand it.
Oh, I wish I could have been there.
Oh, my goodness, yes. That was a very fun class. I have stories for days with that woman. I think it got to a point where I probably ended up doing a lot of it on purpose. But, you know, it's a part of my personality.
just because you knew that you could bend her with your mind,
yes.
So you had
yes.
fun with her. I get it.
Yes.
And you were probably just.
I'm
sorry. Go on.
No, I did. I agree.
Yeah. I was just imagining you just discovering this power that you had that others didn't have, so you were testing it out on this
yes.
poor teacher.
Yes, really. Yeah, I mean, and it's very immature behavior, but you know, that's all in the development of being creative. You know, I thought outside the box. I thought being differently, and I don't want to say that I was really trying to make it hard, but these things were really on my mind. And instead of me just going with the flow with her answer, I challenged
yeah.
the answer. Well, no, that still doesn't make sense. Okay,
yeah.
well, then she'll try something else. I'm like, okay, well, why is this? How can you have a half man, half horse? I don't understand it. Please stop it. So that's pretty much where that ended.
I see. Ladies and gentlemen, the talented Miss T. Lane, and we are having fun with her as we discover her independent way of thinking. And we are brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. They are located at 5633 North Ashland Avenue for the finest in Ethiopian cuisine. Do yourself a favor. Take your loved one there and go and speak with Samson and his lovely wife, Heru. They're very formidable hosts, and the service is unforgettable. The food you will never, ever, ever regret going to Lalibela's. They are, again, are located at 5633 North Ashland. And for those of you who like a snack or two, go to Popcorn Haven. They are located on the southwest side of Chicago with a convenient parking lot right in front. They are at 111th and Cicero. And they have over 500 flavors. That is right. They have 500 flavors for your enjoyment. So go to Popcorn Haven, conveniently located on the southwest side of Chicago at 111th and Cicero. And we're back with Miss T. Lane. Miss T., when did you begin to consider writing for more than just your fancy?
You know, I have to say, during my marriage, and I was married for a period of about 14 years, but I want to say maybe about the seventh or eighth year in, I felt compelled to just write. And it was more or less like a therapy for me. I wasn't looking to impress anyone. I wasn't looking to sell any books or anything of that nature. I just knew that writing things always got me to a next level. It got me through a lot of things. So I decided to start writing Seductive Dreams. And I got to about the third chapter, and I was discussing it with a few friends, and they were like, oh, well, you know, let me check it out. What is it about? You know, and I'm like, well, it's urban erotica, you know, and I don't know if a whole lot of people will be interested, but just give me your opinion. So I sourced it to about five different people, and all five came back demanding the next chapter. And they were completely bewildered. They couldn't believe how exciting and adventurous the story was and how descriptive. It was very
yeah.
creative. These characters kind of jumped off the page. There were people that they could relate to. Some of
yeah.
them even came at me and was like, oh, I have a friend like this, or I could see myself in this situation. Oh, my God, what happens next? And I
yeah.
said, I don't know. What happens next? I'm not finished. And they're like, well, can you go finish it? And I'm like, well, it's not that easy to just create people and make
yeah.
it make sense. I said, I don't know what's going to happen next. So, you know, a few months roll by, and I'm still getting emails and phone calls. Did you finish Seductive Dreams yet? I want to know what happens to Shantae. Is Michael, are they getting married? Like, I had all these questions, and I'm like, oh, my God, you guys are driving me crazy because I don't have these answers. So I felt like I owed them to at least finish it because it was a cliffhanger. There was something there that they really needed to have an answer to. They needed an answer. It wasn't that they were necessarily interested in it. It became
yeah.
a need for them, like a drug. And I'm
yeah.
like,
yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
that's pretty much exactly how it happened. And once I realized that people liked it and they enjoyed my writing, that was the fulfillment for me. It's not for any fame. It's not for any publicity. It's when somebody reads it, and I could be in the other room, and if they come to me and like, oh, my God, that's the reaction I'm looking for. And it does something to my soul.
I call it dazzling them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break and listen to this song. And I see we have a caller waiting in the 504 area code. We will be with you shortly. But at this time, we're going to listen to this tune called Rasta Man Abbas. This is a band that I play with from time to time. So enjoy.
Full of love, full of joy, praising God. You know, I know, yes, I, Rastafari, greetings in the precious name of the Most High, yeah, Rastafari, ever living, ever faithful, ever time.
That was Rastaman Abbas, Rastaman Abbas. That's G.D. Hemmings and the Concrete Reggae Band. They'll be appearing at the Pink Crocodile on next Sunday evening. Next Sunday evening at the Pink Crocodile at 9 p.m. And now we are back with the talented and the very lovely and attractive, I might add, Miss T. Lane. Miss T., would you bless us with a rendering from one of your passages, please?
Absolutely. So I'm going to be reading chapter 1 from Seductive Dreams, The Prophecy Begins. And just to give you a little background, it is an urban erotica type novel. I want to say similar to Zane, but not as much erotica, I'll say. It's more real life characters and people that you can relate to. So, beginning to read chapter 1, and it says, it begins present day. It was a dark, loud, and stormy night. Startled by the hail tapping against the window, she awakened from her sleep. Unable to go back to sleep, her thoughts started to drift, and she began to fantasize. Although very engaged, she was too shy to tell her husband all of the naughty things that crossed her mind. As her imagination drifted, she dreamed of a hip-hop star named MC Brooklyn. She dreamed she was at one of his concerts, and he picked her out all of all the thousands of girls yelling and screaming his name. MC Brooklyn, they chanted, but he chose her. He grabbed her wrist and pulled her on stage with him, and they sang a song to one of his greatest hits on stage together. She couldn't believe she was on stage with the most powerful rapper in New York. Every girl in the room wanted him, but he chose her, and he had her all to himself. They even kissed passionately when the song ended. As the curtains closed, they were still holding hands. MC Brooklyn leaned over and whispered in her ear, inviting her back to his room backstage. She politely accepted, and he gave her the key. Meet me there in 10 minutes, he said. She arrived in exactly 10, but he was not there yet. While she waited, she browsed around the room and looked through some of the on-stage costumes. She found one that was just her size. It was a very sexy pink nightie with matching pink fuzzy slippers. When MC Brooklyn walked in the room, he was mesmerized with her beauty. He couldn't help but stare, as she was lying on the couch in a very ass-up, sexy position. I was hoping you'd be wearing that, he said. He grabbed her intensely and began to rub his hands down her spine. He positioned himself behind her on his knees and aggressively grabbed her breast and bit her neck. Beep, beep, beep. The alarm goes off. Oh, shit. Wake up, babe. You're late. She gets breakfast started. The aroma from the coffee and pancakes were enough to even waken the neighbors. Her husband stole a peek on the cheek and grabbed a piece of toast. I'm gone, honey. He pressed the button on his key to the remote start 750 BMW with paper plates. The garage closed as quickly as it opened. Once Shantae knew her husband was gone, she started to wonder about her dream. She couldn't understand why she was dreaming so intensely about this local rap star. She giggled and mumbled to herself, that would be nice, but only in my dreams, she said, and continued on with the day. And that's the end of chapter 1, A Seductive Dream, The Prophecy Begins.
That is a wonderfully colorful story. Thank you, beloved.
I'm yes, glad indeed. You enjoyed it.
Oh, my God, what a nice psychological hiccup.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. So, this rapper, is he going to eventually meet this admirer or what? Admirer?
Well, in the book, she does meet him, and it's under certain circumstances with her husband. So, you know, they meet, but it's through her husband. So we really don't know what's going to happen between them because she's already fantasized about this individual, and it just happens to be she's introduced to him through her husband. Right.
That should be a BET movie.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I'm working on it. if you have any connections, please do let me know.
that is your aspiration is to get a movie deal.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I've been trying to work a few connections that I have, but the industry, nobody really has the time. It's a little difficult, but I kind of have my shoe in. You know, being from Compton is an advantage, but it also works as a disadvantage to a certain degree because when you grow up around these people, they just know you as the kid next door. You know, they don't really understand your talent until somebody else introduces it. And then it's like, oh, yeah, Tanisha from Hilford Block. I remember her. And I'm like, yeah, I've been trying to tell you.
Well, tell us how we can purchase this book that you just wrote, The Prophecy Begins.
Well, it's available on Amazon.com. It's available on Amazon.com and also Barnes & Noble. So you have options. So if you just, even my website, I'm so sorry. It's so difficult with this phone. I swear I'm going to buy a new one. But it is a, you know, and I'm just going to say this. I have an iPhone, and every time there's a new phone that's going to be delivered, I have these issues. Something goes wrong with my phone. So whatever Apple is doing, they're geniuses. I wish I knew somebody there because I'm telling you, my book would be a number one bestseller if I knew somebody that worked at Apple. They have the best marketing strategies in the world. But back to the book, I'm sorry. It is available on my website.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Your website is?
My website is MissTLane.com, and it's MissTLane, MissTLane.com. And if you go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you can just put in a search, Seductive Dreams. It pops right up.
Miss T, tell us, when is the time you find yourself most comfortable writing, or do you have a certain time?
You know, it's not always timing for me. When I'm creative, I have to stop and do it, you know, and even when I'm at work, you know, I still have my regular 9 to 5. So the difficult part is when I have these creative inhibitions, the issue is trying to jot it down immediately when you have a life, you know.
Yes.
So what I've learned to do is that try to keep it on my mind. I try to stay focused on the thought. And whenever I get the opportunity throughout the day, I immediately write it down. You know, that's the best way to do it. I don't have a certain time. It comes to me whenever it comes to me, you know, maybe even in dreams, anything like that. If I remember anything from the night before, I'll wake up and I'll just immediately start writing. So even in the middle of the night, sometimes I can't sleep, and it's almost like somebody nudging you. You know, I'm dead tired. I'm sleeping. I'm trying to get my sleep. And it's like, get up, write this. If you're not, you're never going to get any sleep. You know, there's been times where I've written stories in the middle of the night, 2:00 in the morning. I get up, I write it, and then I go back to sleep. You know, so that's pretty much how it's done.
Yeah. It's amazing how art is produced to the world for its enjoyment. The people don't see the behind the scenes travails and challenges and urges and temptations and all these different emotions going to either pull you into the art or pull you away from it. It's a never ending tug battle to me.
Right. That's it. That's exactly it. And it's a pull at your soul. It's not something that you can ignore. It's you have to do it. It's a must, or you're never going to be able to live a normal life, I'll say.
Indeed. So can you remember what you did, how you celebrated when you got your first royalty check?
Oh, my goodness. Now, that question, I'll tell you when I get it. You know, the book industry is a whole nother animal, you know, and with myself, they pay royalties at a certain time of the year, and it depends on when your book was announced. It depends on, you know, there's two times, they only pay 2 times a year. So my book wasn't necessarily delivered at the right time of year for pay. So how about this? How about I tell you this? When I do get it, I'm going to buy a yacht. How does that sound?
I want a
50-footer.
Oh, let me play the piano for the entertainment on the yacht, you know, as we cruise along the Caribbean and things, you know.
Oh, that's beautiful. on the ocean. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the lovely and talented Miss T. Lane, and we were really, really blessed to hear an excerpt from her book, The Prophecy Begins. I urge you to go out and purchase the book at Amazon and the other places. What was the other one?
BarnesandNoble.com. And even if you're unable to access those sites, there's a link directly on my website, MissTLane.com. Again, it's MissTLane.com. I swear my ex-husband must have access to my phone because every time I get ready to promote the book.
Oh, my. Oh, right. My. Well, we're going to have to do something about that because we definitely want to have you back at another time to further explore your consciousness and because we haven't even talked about your uncanny ability to decipher the signs of the zodiac. So we have a lot to talk about.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and that's my specialty. I study that. So, yes, that's an excellent topic.
Let me ask you before you go, give us three essential tools that an inspiring author should have to achieve what they need.
The three tools that I would say, for one, creativity. You have to be able to create a world within a world. You know, these people have to come to life, they have to be believable, and they have to be enjoyable. So I would say creativity, number one. Two is dedication. You want to be dedicated to whatever it is that you're writing towards. I mean, there's times where I kind of just want to throw in the towel, you know. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, I don't know what to say next. But being dedicated to that and to my readers, I feel like I kind of owe that to them, you know, especially with those five people, I think about them. Those five individuals that came to me and demanded that I finish it. That's what keeps me going. I don't care if my book sells 1 million or if it sells 10. You know, at the end of the day, those 10 people, if they enjoyed it and they loved it, that's all that matters to me. I did exactly what I wanted to do, and I accomplished that.
Yes,
the third thing that I would say is learn the industry, which is something I kind of had to teach myself. You know, I stumbled upon a few roadblocks. I made a few mistakes. And that was because I didn't do my research prior. So I would say just make sure that you do your research, understand the environment, and understand your audience. You know, so research. Those would be the three topics I would recommend for anybody that's trying to write a book or just become, or even maybe just do something that you never did before, something that your heart desired. Absolutely, those would be the three things.
Sister, you have a beautiful soul. You have a beautiful spirit. I am so honored to have had you on our show, and we are definitely looking forward to having you come back again.
Thank you. Anytime.
Peace and blessings to you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Miss T. Lane, very prolific author, beautiful personality, extremely talented. Go out and purchase her book. Spice up your life. Spice up. All right. One love, y'all. Unification. All right. All right.
Good night.
Thank you.